Come to order.
We're calling this meeting to order. It's 6:02, 6:03. The committee meeting for the PDEC, Planning Development and Extension Education Committee. Number one, certification of compliance.
We are. The agenda was published on July 26th and July 31.
Okay. And there's a lot of new people here, so I think we should have introductions.
Terrific.
You want to start, Teddy?
I'd love to start. I'm Teddy Winnie, the director of UW Extension here in Kenosha County.
Good afternoon. I'm Denise Clark, nutrition educator with Racine and Kenosha Counties.
And my name is Cindy Armstrong, and I am also a nutrition educator in Racine and Kenosha Counties.
Steve Branca, community development educator here in Kenosha.
Mike Underhill, county board supervisor.
Rick Dodge, county board supervisor.
Bianca Ricker, youth and governance member from Shepherd High School.
I'm Colin Baruchak, youth and governance member, and I'm from Brantford.
Mike Skolitsky, county board supervisor.
Aaron Decker, county board supervisor.
Max Cruz, the horticulture intern for the
Rose Scora, agriculture educator in Kenosha.
Barb Larson, horticulture educator in Kenosha.
Beth Sorcini, 4-H program assistant. Kristen Lee, I'm the community planner educator.
John Butlin, youth and family educator.
Fabiola Diaz, nutrition educator for Racine and Kenosha County.
Amy Martinez, I'm the administrator of the nutrition education program for Racine and Kenosha Counties.
Alana Perez-Valier, nutrition educator for Racine and Kenosha Counties.
Thank you. And Supervisor Bruning, who is the chair of the committee, is going to be late, so she'll be here though. Item number two, feature program, RKNEP, Money for Food Lesson.
That's our acronym for the Racine Kenosha Nutrition Education Program, and we affectionately call it RECNEP.
RECNEP.
And then nobody knows what RECNEP is, so honestly when they're here I just say our Nutrition Education Program. And you've met many of them. This is not the entire staff, and I'm sure Amy will mention that, but there are other nutrition educators who weren't able to be here this evening. But it's a good chance for you to meet them this evening and have a chance for them to share with you the kind of programs that they deliver to the audiences in Kenosha County. So you're going to literally become their clients tonight, which is why you have a calculator in front of you, because you will be participating fully in a program as the nutrition educators teach tonight. I'll turn it over to Amy.
Thank you. So I'm Amy Martinez, administrator of our nutrition education program. We're both Racine and Kenosha counties. We're located in the Racine County, downtown in Racine. And it gives us better flexibility to get to where most of our learners are in both city of Racine and city of Kenosha. We do a little bit of work in the counties in both counties. We have 8 nutrition educators. So you see half of our staff is here tonight, was able to make it tonight. We're going to have 2 educators kind of co-teaching one of the lessons that we typically teach in the community in which we work. And then we're going to have a food demo similar to one, well actually just like the one that we did for the open house at the WIC program last week. So I sent it via Teddy just a little blur kind of about a typical audience, so that as you guys are thinking about the lesson that we're talking about today, you think about who the lesson is geared toward. So our funding is from the SNAP, or the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And kind of a typical picture of our SNAP recipients, 41% of the households include at least one employed household member. 47% of recipients were 18 years or under, so almost half of FUCHA recipients are children. And that's true in Kenosha County as well. About 8% of food share recipients receive welfare benefits. 3.9 million Americans were lifted out of poverty with SNAP during the recent economic downturn. There's only a 3% error rate nationwide, so people incorrectly using new food share dollars. And retailer fraud was less than 1%, which is really fantastic. This is true in our counties as well. For every dollar that SNAP benefits are given, our economy locally receives $1.80 back in the purchase of consumer goods and other products. So that's kind of our typical learners that we're working with, and that's our audience. And that's who all of our curriculum that we teach in the community has been geared toward. We do a lot of education with children because, as I mentioned, almost 50% of children receive food share children. But we do a lot of adult education too, meant to kind of help people be able to figure out how to use their money better, use it wisely. We also talk a lot about healthy eating and nutrition for adults and for families. And the lesson that we're going to teach today, that Fabiola is actually going to lead today, is called, one of the lessons in our curriculum called Money for Food. And so it talks a lot about food budgeting and planning and better spending, how to better spend your food dollar. So I should say Fabiola is our longest-term nutrition educator. She's been with our program for 13 years. And she's also one of our bilingual educators, one of our three bilingual educators we have in our office.
Thank you. Well, the topic for today, as Amy was saying, was about developing a plan for using money and other resources in my community for families to have enough money to have enough throughout the month or throughout the week or whatever they get their resources. In the handouts that I that we sent to you, we had a page that family needs to spend for healthy food. Hopefully you can look at that page. That's what we're going to be starting with. Before, I have just one simple question to you. And this is one of the exercises that we do with our participants. We always ask this question of, if you had $50 after you pay everything, your food, your bills and everything else, what would you purchase with that, with those $50? And I'm throwing that question at all of you. What would you buy if you had $50 extra?
Go out to dinner.
You will go out? Okay.
That's it, so.
Okay. Anybody else?
I have to ask my wife first.
And she would say new shoes for you.
I have a plan for that money.
No.
A new golf club.
This is supposed to be for food? Or for anything?
If you had
extra $50, what would you
choose? Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You will do entertainment? I'd buy some nail polish.
I'd buy
a lot of nail polish.
We can add, you know, we can have so many different answers to this question. When we do this activity with our audience, we also give them a list. I didn't do that with you guys, but I just wanted to see what kind of answers we got. But we have things said in there like going out to eat. We have things in there like savings. We have food. We had things like personal appearance. You know, will you use it to go and do your hair or your nails or something like that? And when we do this activity, I really like it because when we think of money is one of those resources that affects our personality many times. And this helps families to see what are their values when it comes to money. And they really get to think about. And it's a very long activity, actually, when they get to number what was their first choice. Was it savings, or was it food, or was it something else? Or doing my nails was my first, you know, my first choice. But I think that helps the families to see what are their values when it comes to money and what is it that they will really invest if they have that extra cash. So we're gonna get started by, first of all, trying to figure out one of the hardest things that families have to figure out every month, which is how much money do I really need to spend on food? And we're going to have you guys look at this page, if you have one. I know that some of you...
You're not allowed to have one, sorry. But if I could have that one, I'll take it.
Don't you have it? If that's okay with
everyone. What does your family need?
Yes,
the title is, what does your family need to spend? So if you can pull that one up.
It should be the first page in that packet that
we sent you guys for
you're the you know electronic packet.
I'll take the heat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I just gave it to you.
I don't want to take the heat, so is that okay if I... I just want you to see...
maybe we can...
That's okay.
We don't need them.
No?
No, yeah. Our educators
okay, okay. Because this is what you need. I want you to use your own family as an example for this activity, okay? What you need to do is you need to find out, or not find out, but tell me, how many people are in this age group in your family right now? And... how many, and this is going to tell you how much you need a month to feed this person. We have infant birth to 6 months in the first form, and it tells you the amount that you need per month to feed that person.
You're not sure.
And we're going to use the calculators, because I really need you to find out how much money you need to spend a month, in a month.
And then I got a white one too. She eats a lot.
She weighs like 90 pounds.
Tongue, she really packs it away.
Does she?
Oh, you got your own?
Yes, I
found my own.
Yeah.
Oh, different.
So am I supposed to count my way?
Yes. Your family
does. Anyone that lives in your house.
Is this just food?
Yes.
Okay. She racks up a lot more than that.
Yes.
Maybe not food.
Everybody's going to hide that when Kim walks in the door.
For a female over the age of 20.
I think my daughter's eat a lot more than that.
Is this what we need the calculators for?
That's mm-hmm. right. You got to add it up. You got to have a total number.
If you don't need the calculator, then
what do you
have to
do?
What about a pet?
Oh, that's a good point.
That is good.
Yes. Yeah, we only have family here. Family members, I guess.
Human members. The USDA doesn't allow us to teach about what it costs to feed pets.
Okay, so everybody figure out sort of.
Mine's easy.
Okay. You have the one, John? No?
It's a lot. A lot of miles.
Bless you. Okay. I'm not sure, man, that you're strangling yourself.
$500, yeah. So after you're done calculating what your family is supposed to have, you need to know that these numbers are based on the Thrifty Food Plan from the USDA, meaning that it's assumed that most meals are being cooked at home and all the food is being purchased from the store, and that there is not a lot of convenience food. All of it is like from scratch, and some cooking skills are assumed and things like that. But that's why sometimes these numbers look very low, because it's considering that people are making their food at home, not going out to eat very often. Okay, so the next step to this exercise is for you guys to look at the situation cards. That's the little set of cards that's in front of you. And the situation cards, they're going to tell you different things that happen to different families. I want you to look through them where the number is. Don't flip them over yet. Just look at what the number is and see if that situation applies to your family. If it does, then you can just set it on the side and put the ones that don't apply to your family like somewhere else.
I should do that.
Go on my meat or my mom. I don't cook.
Okay.
My wife does. Does that count?
But that then, yeah, it will apply to your family.
under limited food storage areas, like limited.
Is that where the number is?
11.
Like you don't have a lot of cupboard space to store.
How much is a lot of cupboard space?
Well, whatever, it's your interpretation.
Yeah.
So if you feel
if you're not finding, if you're not finding that there's enough space, then it's your interpretation.
When you bring home your food from the grocery store and you don't have enough places to put it, that
well, that's
apply to you.
Stocked up.
If I'm Long John Silver's, is that considered?
Yeah, I crunch your
shoots from chipmunks.
Again, we go back to the handouts that we sent. I sent two pages like this, where one of the there's two piles, one square here and one square here, and one of the piles are the situations that that apply to your family that decrease their food cost, and the other one is the situation that will increase the food cost of your family. So look at the cards that apply to your family and try to divide them into. To see which one you have the most of, the increase or decrease. Oh, let me go have this one.
Number three is children eat lunch at school or childcare. That affects my food budget, but then it alternately affects my budget that I pay for.
Like hot lunch.
Yes. Yeah. So, what do I consider that?
I guess it depends. If you look at the amount of dollars that it will cost you to feed the one child and look at the price of how much it's supposed to be saving you, but if you have to pay full price for lunch, then that's when you do the compare those
okay.
two amounts.
Okay, thank you.
Now, on the other hand, I don't mean to be difficult about this, but...
You get lots of questions from you this lesson.
My kids eat at school, but... I make them take a lunch. Or maybe I don't make them, but they pack their own lunch. So that still counts, right?
You still have to pay for lunch at school?
No, not if they bring their own, but they always keep some. So I mean, they're eating at school, but I'm not. But they're maybe bringing it from home.
Number three means you're paying for lunch for them.
Well, sometimes they do that, sometimes they take their own. So I'm kind of a fence sitter on that one. I just as clean sweep, I decrease all the way across the board.
Okay. If they eat, and again, it goes back to comparing how much money you're spending on that one lunch from home and that lunch from school.
Okay.
Anyone else has questions? Okay. So, check and see, do you have a lot of cards that increase your food cost, or do you have just a few? I want you to look behind those cards and look at what it says in the back. And if you were able to adjust any of those things that will increase your food cost, what would you change? What would you do? For instance, I was listening to your conversation. I'm sorry.
Mike.
Yeah.
To her?
Yes.
Come on, you should talk about me.
Yeah, we eat out 3 times, you know.
No, that's my husband.
Okay.
Yeah, that's her.
Okay.
My kids did that. They're in big trouble.
3 times a week. So that was certainly will.
Well, it says 1 to 3, doesn't it?
Okay.
Oh, no, it says 3 or more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Leftover guy.
Maybe he does mean 3 or more, I'm not sure.
Yes.
But anyway, continue.
Mm-hmm. When we talked about this thing, sometimes it's shocking for a lot of our participants. I had one of my participants spending $400, and her food customer was very small. It was very, very, very little. But when we looked at how many times she ate out, it was over $400 a month. So it was shocking for her. And a lot of times with our participants, it is, you know, that happens a lot. That things that are kind of common sense sometimes, you know, for our audiences are not. So we have to, you know, take them through this process. Sometimes it's almost painful. You know, sometimes with my math skills and their math skills, you know, things don't work so well. But, and at the end, you know, at the end of the process, it's helpful for them to see how much money they can actually be saving by just doing some adjustments of, you know, of how they spend their money and money. So the next thing for you guys to do in step four, I guess when we go to step three, is to put your adjusted monthly total. If you don't change anything about how much you're spending, then go ahead and write your amount in that area. Well, you don't have a paper. I'm sorry. And the adjusted monthly total, if you're looking at your handouts. Should I pass these handouts?
We did it.
This too?
The second.
Yeah. Oh, the second one?
You just passed
this
one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
No, there is another one.
Yeah,
the second
another
one.
Yeah.
You can walk by and we can look at it quickly.
Or you can leave them behind here when you go over next door.
She won't be.
We had extras from a class we taught last week, so
they're leftovers.
This is
she put them. She has
to reuse them.
We did it print it just for you.
That's how we felt the week.
But you may find
it
helpful to forward them
out,
and we'd want you to take it home if you find it helpful. So you should take those.
So just write down the total and your adjusted monthly total line right there. And now Alana is going to pass you a couple cards for you. Those cards are, they're not, we don't call them money cards, but it's almost like money. These are different programs in the community that families that qualify for our programs they can help them to reduce their cost of food in a month. So when you take these cards, try to pretend that, you know, we're going to make you switch roles a little bit and pretend you are one of those families. You qualify for these programs. And I want you to look at the price, the amount of money that is in the back of those cards. These are different programs in the community. And I want you to put them down on those lines where it says step five, the food dollar cards. I want you to write down what kind of program it is and how much money it will save you a month if you were applying for it or if you were receiving that particular program.
Okay. How much should I adjust it if I had more cards in the decrease than in the increase? Should I just wing it here? Is this, so I should be that?
Yes, pretty much. It doesn't really tell us how much.
And then when I go home, I can present it to my wife and daughter and say, now this is your new budget.
You might want to do the activity as a family.
I'm liking this already.
I guess you could do that. But
it doesn't work very well.
It was a lot more cards. A lot more cards. I think it's $40 or $90 that you have to increase if you had like a lot more cards in your pile.
So he would decrease it 40 to 90.
40 to 90, yes. If you had more cards.
60.
You would. And so after.
And then I can have enough to feed my dog. Now.
Yeah.
So after you look at those amounts of different programs that you can benefit from, we have WIC, we have Food Share, we have all different kinds of cards that we just pass around. And I want you to write them down on those spaces and put the name of the program too and the amount of money that is saving you a month. this is pretty much what a lot of our families have to deal with on a monthly basis. The amount of food share that they get and the amount of WIC that they get is not enough. And we have to stress that really good with our families to make sure they understand that what they get is not really enough. There's other, you know, there's money that has to come into also into that plan. You know, that's why it's so important for them to make the plan. It takes skills, it takes time, but you know, it's actually something that they can be good at it, and they have to continue practicing it. And this curriculum money for food, sometimes we do a one-time session. Sometimes they're designed to be standalone sessions, or they can be, you know, like the whole 13 sessions, where they learn about planning for shopping, all about food, just so that they have enough for the whole month. So, did you have a chance to add up your food cards? Your food dollar cards? Right here. You have to have a total of food dollar cards right here and an adjusted monthly total.
And only to the ones that would apply to my family, right? For instance, if I didn't have any kids in elementary school, I wouldn't use that amount to reduce.
No, if
correct.
You didn't.
But if I was in middle school or, mm-hmm. or high school.
If they don't apply to me, then I don't use them.
Oh, with the pink cards, I wanted you to kind of pretend that you were that person now. We're doing a little
You've
like
now got young kids
play.
Again, right?
So, yeah, we're using what you provided for your own family and reality, but now with the pink cards, I want you to pretend that you were that family.
So what would our adjusted be?
Huh?
What would the step four be?
The adjusted, that was if the total that you took out of this page, what does your family need, if it was pretty close to what you usually do, or if you had like the pile of cards. If you have many, many cards on the house, you have to like adjust it, add $40 or $90 more. But if you didn't have a lot of cards that increase your cost of food, then you will leave it at where it was here.
Yes.
So did you have a lot of cards in your pile that increase the cost?
There's two.
Okay. So then you will just leave it where it is. If it doesn't have a lot of those cards. All right. Are you with me? Are you still with me? Okay. Now, once you have that, step
she's
six.
I can't wait to see you trying to catch up.
For step six, which is the last of the steps, I want you to write down on those two lines, the adjusted monthly total, and then subtract that from the total of food dollar cards. And then what you end up with is the cash you need each month for food.
So they give you. Yes, he needs to keep track.
I guess I do.
I mean, you can't buy. I gave him a dollar 40 bucks, and so he comes home with it. Like, what the heck? It's shocking.
You know, I buy like.
That's how you give a lot of teenager money stuff.
Do you guys go shopping?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay. So is it falling pretty close to what you think
pretty
you're
much.
Spending?
Coupons? Do you use coupons?
Yes, I try to shrink couponing, but it's really tough.
You do some coupons.
See, I don't use coupons because then it makes you buy
brand
stuff.
Oh, well,
well,
I like that it's on sale, yeah.
Yeah.
So my mom insists that we buy all organic, which is a pain. Because then you're like hunting for that organic label. But we shop because I don't like to keep fresh fruit and vegetables in the house. So we do it every 2 weeks or about every week because otherwise the fruit goes bad or like if you have grapes sitting in the fridge to come on to get moldy. So we like rotate. So.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say you do or don't shop collar?
Occasionally, if, you know, if I say I'm bored.
Here's the grocery list. I'll get you. You won't say you're bored again.
Okay. Well, I am glad that most of you came up very close to what you usually will need to for your food. Now, I have a question. If I still have time for that question. Yeah? Okay. Did you guys, I'm asking you now, we're going back to reality. Did you guys learn a thing or two that you might be using or planning to use or that you thought, this really makes sense? Yeah? How many of you think that you will be using like one or two of the ideas that you learned here today?
Oh, I will. I'll just tell my wife about it.
Okay. Anyone else?
Calvin, you had your hand up. I might suggest something to my parents.
Gently.
That's good. Well, thank you very much.
Well, I learned that I should send my kids to eat at some other people's house.
Yes.
I mean, they're like a fun. So you arrange play dates around the noon hour.
Your family ate at friends or family's home one or two times a week. Mom, can I come over and visit?
Yeah, that's her.
For ribeye steaks.
But thank you so
much.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed the lesson. I didn't bore you too much.
Well, you had to kind of rush for us, but I would imagine it's a question and answer type of a situation so that they can digest what you're presenting to them. Otherwise, if they're not understand, they're not going to do it. If they don't realize where they're really wasting money or spending money they don't have, then they're not going to change habits. Habits change slowly. Thank you.
So who takes this class and how do they know about it? How do they get into the class?
I have taught these classes at the Shalom Center, which is a homeless shelter. And I'm also doing these classes at weight clinics and sometimes parent groups. And sometimes they get referred to our program. They self-refer, and sometimes the nurses or people that work in the different agencies that we partner with, they refer those people to us. Sometimes just people that live in the shelter, they have to attend there. It's like a mandatory class they have to do in order for them to get the benefits from that program.
I was just going to ask, if you're on WIC or food stamps or reduced lunches or anything like that, are you required to go to these classes or no? Or
so for the WIC program, to receive the benefits from WIC, you are required to have certain number of nutrition education classes per year to continue to receive the benefits. For free and reduced lunch or the food share program, currently there aren't any of those requirements. So our funding comes from this piece of, it really makes sense to help educate people while they're receiving food share benefits. It makes sense to educate them and help them understand some of these things that maybe they wouldn't take the time in a chaotic life to sit down and think, well, how much do I really spend on food? How much should I be spending? Am I spending way too much? If I am, maybe I could cut back a few things and have a little bit more to, pay my rent or electricity or different things like that. So currently there's not a requirement for education. Ours is offered, so we go and we seek out our community partners that work with those audiences so we can provide the education as needed to help out.
Thank you.
We have a food.
Yes, which I'm the popular educator tonight. I got picked to do the food demo. And I selected this demo because it's something I just did in Kenosha last week as a partnership with the WIC clinic who had an open house. They have a new kitchen upstairs in their building, and they wanted to bring people in to see that. And they had other community partners there too. U.S. Bank was there giving information and things like that. So they asked if we would be willing to do one of the demos up in their kitchen. So we did it a couple times on that day. And we chose to do build a healthy rice bowl, kind of a learn while you wait. So as they walked in, we had a similar setup as this. And I would engage the people as they came up and ask them things like, so does your family ever use rice? And if so, is it white rice or brown rice? Now on their with their WIC vouchers, they can get brown rice. That's relatively new. Certainly people can always buy white rice or brown rice using their food stamp dollars or food share dollars. But knowing that the brown rice is a relatively new add-on to their package, I thought that that would be a good opportunity. So all of the components of this lesson, I could just teach six lessons off of this one activity, I'm sure, because it's a good way to encourage your family to eat more vegetables by having these choices of vegetables that you can layer into rice bowls. Brown rice is a whole grain, so I can do a lesson on eating more whole grains. It would be a wonderful lesson on having your children help you in the kitchen, because the children can help you maybe cut up the green pepper if you give them a little plastic knife and you get them started, and then they can do that for the family. It's a good lesson on providing options. If you have three children, something I often hear from homemakers is, I don't even want to cook because they all like different things. It's so frustrating. And so if you offer something like a healthy rice bowl, you start with that brown rice, and then they get to pick the toppings that they really like to make their meal. It also is a great budget stretcher. A typical half cup serving of rice would cost about 10 cents if you're buying rice in a larger bag. Rice gets more expensive if you buy, say, the Uncle Ben's rice that's already seasoned and things, then it's probably more like 52 cents for a half cup serving. And that comes up. We often compare different ways to buy rice and cook rice. Some people are afraid of brown rice. They don't know how to cook it, but it's nice to be able to show them that brown rice comes in a minute rice now. It takes 5 minutes versus 1 minute, but it still is a very user-friendly food for people maybe who didn't grow up in a household that cooks very much. So there's lots and lots of lessons that can come out of something as simple as a healthy rice bowl. And I told Teddy that we'll send the little link for this very nice handout that has, actually, this is probably my favorite page because it shows how you can start with brown rice. The components that I chose tonight make sort of a southwestern kind of flavored brown rice bowl by the time you end up, because there's taco sauce and corn and black beans. But you could easily use the same base and end up with a Thai flavored bowl or a huevos ranchero breakfast bowl. So it gives this little grid of, if you put out these kinds of choices with these types of options, you'll flavor your rice bowl a different way. So it can be kind of a fun thing to do. So what we're going to do is invite...
Did you happen to bring hard copies of that?
I have a few so left over from...
Because I'm not really concerned about the chairwoman at the
I did bring a few leftovers, that copies that I had from
because
my...
Because I don't cook with a laptop or have one sitting in my kitchen. So a paper copy probably be outstanding.
I would be happy to give a paper copy upon request.
And I'm telling you, this is going to rock.
So what we'd like you to do is, if you'd like to wash your hands, then walk through and build your own rice bowl. And then when you come back and sit down and are eating, you might have other questions for the educators or for Amy about our programs or our typical audiences or the places we go in Kenosha. I go off to the Sharing Center in Trevor, so you might want to know how that's going since they... got their new building and things. But why don't we go ahead and start, because it's fun to eat and talk.
And everyone noted what she said you do first. Definitely a food safety lesson.
You made enough for everybody.
Yes, sir.
Everybody.
Well, if you build a very large school, there will not be enough for everybody. But
now, this kid over here is a teenage boy.
Right, you probably should have given me a heads up about that.
Committee go first. We were planning on a little more than a, sample.
These guys eat dinner.
You have to carve up for your next meeting.
Yeah,
we can go home and eat.
We want to keep the meeting rolling.
You have no idea how stressful those meetings are. Perfect time.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm already rocking and black.
Right, so there's no meat with this bowl, but if you had a leftover chicken breast, you could cut that, dice it up in small pieces, and there would be meat.
This is just like regular old mini brown rice. Actually, 5 minute brown rice.
That's correct. I did use one
Since you were 8, what happened when you were 8?
Don't get out of turn, buddy. Well, I could. In Amtown. I'm not worried about that. You what? Thank you very much. It's remarkable how when they get into high school, they actually start liking them. Oh, yeah. I didn't think my kids would ever like them. I always wanted to watch the aliens and this and stuff. I couldn't.
But it took me a while to like.
Well, I mean, just it's shocking that. Yeah, I mean, unless something. Really being dead. But then I know other kids are both crying.
Sure.
That's yummy.
No.
Oh, I forgot the salsa.
You got
the
head
on salsa.
You know.
Yeah, you need the salsa. I don't like it.
Okay, we're going to bring you back. We're coming back to the large group.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant out there.
To keep you on schedule so that you can have plenty of time to eat that and finish the rest of the meeting before you have to go next door. So, looks like everybody's kind of made their own rice bowl. I think you can see a lot of the things that Cindy was mentioning in there, especially with if you have picky eaters in your household or in your extended family. This can be a really fun thing for people to do, almost like a taco bar. You've got all these different fixings and things, and people can make what they want. You don't have to worry about somebody complaining that, there's onions in theirs or whatever. So anyway, so we really thank you for your, you know, time tonight. We just kind of wanted to give you an idea of a typical adult lesson that we teach. Last year, I know we had two members here. We did kind of something we do with the kids in the school, so it's a little bit different than this. We thought this year we'll mix it up, do some adult education. So if you have any questions at this time, feel free to ask them, or we'll go into the other educator updates and reports.
So with these kinds of a presentation of a training or a teaching moment, if you would, how receptive do you see the participants? And the next time you see them, do they comment? Do they say, we tried it? Or has it just been one of these things where they're kind of there, they're forced through it, and,
right.
You know, and I'm not...
I
don't know if you have a feel for that.
Yeah, so Cindy, I assume you got positive feedback with this lesson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was just going to say, Denise, too, Shalom, she goes to the Shalom Center food pantry. Mm-hmm. And you've had some great, do you want to share just a few of those comments from your...
Sure, I've had participants. What I do is I get a list of what commodities the food pantry is giving out. And then I put together a simple recipe, usually no more than 5 ingredients. And it's based on what they are giving out. So it's not something that they have to, some unique ingredient where they have to go shopping for that. So then I have the recipe for them. I have a sample for them. And then they come by and try it. And it might be they say, well, you know, I have cooked with beans or I don't. But when they taste it, then they might go back then and say, okay, I'm going to try that. So I've had several people come back during the time that I've been there and say, you know, that salmon, I wouldn't have even known what to do with it. And thanks to your recipe, I've made it for my family, and we love it. And what's really interesting is I've had several gentlemen come back and say, you know, they come back all excited about, what are you doing? What's this month? What are you cooking? So that's really exciting to hear that there are males or that there are men that are getting involved, because when they walk out of there, they have all of the ingredients for it. There's no more cost for them. So it's really exciting going there and getting that feedback from them.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions?
I'm just kind of curious, do you all cook brown rice at your homes already? Mm-hmm. Or are you usually still cooking white rice? Brown rice people, raise your hand. White rice people, raise your hand. Okay. So sometimes if you are exposed to brown rice and you find out it tastes pretty good, and then you hear that it's a whole grain and so it provides more fiber and vitamins and minerals than your white rice would, sometimes you're willing to make a change or go home and say, you know what, we should try that minute brown rice. I had it the other day and it tasted pretty good. So... It's fun to be exposed to new things in a group, because you also hear other people who enjoy eating it.
Thank you to our nutrition educators. They're very nervous, I want you all to know, because speaking before adults in a group as intimidating as you seven, I want you to know they're very nervous. So I'm very proud of them. They've done a great job. Very great job. So super, thank you. All right. Madam Chairman, with your indulgence, we'll just keep moving on here. Is that good? So educator reports.
I'll defer to the corner.
They're eating.
Rose.
Yeah, I'm done eating. since I talked about food share, I thought I'd bring up, I've been working with Kristen Krakowski out of Waukesha County, and we got a grant last year to work with 10 farmers markets in Wisconsin to implement the use of EBT machines, which would allow individuals who get food share to bring their carts to the market and buy food from the market, which is great because farmers markets now accept WIC, that's only fruits and vegetables, but food share really opens up the opportunity for individuals to buy pretty much any food that's available at the market. And in particular, we're working with the Burlington Farmers Market that is accepting food share. So they have gone an additional step and got some additional grant money to help them promote food share. So they're hoping that really expands what they're doing as far as getting individuals who accept food share to come to the market. So, all right,
aren't any questions, I'll pass it along. It looks like Barb's ready.
Okay. A couple of quick things. Spent a lot of time just, I would say, with our kind of horticultural crises, which they aren't, but they are. So we've been doing a lot of education, a lot of answering questions on drought and the effects of the drought and what's happening in not only vegetables and fruits and lawns and trees and all that kind of stuff. The other is last week and this week, Rose mentioned Kristen Krakowski out of Waukesha, Patty Nagai is over here in Racine County, and I do most of our commercial horticulture programs are joint, so we do southeast Wisconsin. So we had a field day at Berner Botanic Garden in Hales Corners, very successful field day, having commercial people come in and learn more about all sorts of different things. And then tomorrow we're going up to the Wisconsin Nurserymen's Association. They have a field day, and that's in Mequon, and we're actually teaching them how to use our resources to help diagnose problems that they have with their clients. And then the rest of quickly my time, I'd like to turn over to Max, because this is his last meeting. He goes back to school. He finishes with us a week from Friday, and then is headed back to Minnesota. So I wanted him to just take a minute or two and share a little bit about his summer.
Yeah, so I've been here about almost a little bit more than 2.5 months. So working with Barb, like Vanessa Gardner's, kind of getting a different look in the horticulture, I guess. A lot more than I expected to be, especially from the education point of view. I was doing a lot of watering.
You learned how to water, right?
But instead of there were just like a lot of different things I was, I guess, open to, or I guess that word. I still did lots of ground
experience.
So I got experience, so I did a lot of different things. So it kind of just gave me a broader view of what I can do with my degree in horticulture. So it was a really good summer, so I enjoyed it. It's been nice to at least enjoy these meetings for a little bit with you guys. So.
I have done 5 classes of babysitting this past summer so far. And with that, I've had 46 youth in attendance in those last 5 babysitting classes. I've been doing this, youth development has been doing this since 2009, December. We saw a need for it. And since 2009, 120 youth total have gone through the American Red Cross babysitting program. So what that entails is a 6.5-hour class. They get a book, they learn how to create a resume, they learn how to do an interview, they learn how to ask questions in the interview. They also how to find a job safely and properly. And then they get to the basics of how you feed and diaper and clothe a infant, baby. So they'll undress and redress the infants, and then they also have a chance to learn how to, in emergency, do rescue breathing and also do first aid. So they will also get to practice on a junior mannequin. So we have these nice mannequins here that they'll do rescue breathing on, along with infant rescue breathing with, too. And so we are going to hold some more classes this fall in the city of Kenosha and out here. So if you have anybody that is interested in taking the babysitting class, the more classes are coming out. It's $50 a class. And we take the registrations all online with the babysitting and Kenosha UW Extension. Unfortunately, the classes are limited size to 10 because of all the one-on-one attention you have to give to make sure they do the skills properly and things like that. So the classes are small, but quite in depth, and the kids are usually pretty tired and ready to go by. Ages, we do 6th through 8th grade is when they can go ahead and start. So as long as they're going into the 6th grade.
Okay. Quick question. With everything that you see in the news nowadays about how these babysitters are flipping out on the kids and there's a lot of head trauma and whatever, do you teach the children, do you teach these babysitters what to do when, say, the infant has a screaming tantrum, or how to separate themselves, or how to distract them, or
mm-hmm. if we go through that, they have a full handbook that gives them ideas of how to do things. You know, what do you do when you have a screaming two-year-old that just won't stop? You try and distract them with other things like that. But they do, we don't do so much of the first aid like head trauma, but we do always call 911. We do a little bit of choking and resuscitation, things like that. But it's another whole class if you wanted your kids to do. So it's just basically there's another whole class for CPR and then another whole class on top of that for first aid training.
Actually, I was thinking on the other side of how to keep the babysitters from causing the head trauma.
Yeah, there's that too. We go through all that stuff, yeah. How do you not to shake or slap the baby and all that stuff, how important that is.
So I've mostly been working with Teddy on coordinating the Leadership Kenosha program for the coming year that starts in September. So mostly lining up speakers and trying to recruit people to participate in the class. I've also been working with planning and development on the mostly committee tasks. So hearing that the packet is too big to open, very good to know. And I've been working with the Department of Public Works. Parks found out that they got one of the grants we applied for assisting our Great Lakes, from assisting our Great Lakes for the dam removal and pets and the stream bank stabilization.
Kristen, have you also been working with the IT department?
Oh, yes.
On the web development.
Yes, the website is, they finally gave it to us to start working with. So hopefully in the next month or so, everyone will get their pages sorted out and we will launch.
Great. Quickly, I sent these along. We had like a silver medal Kenosha News Month in youth development programs. We're doing really, really great. I'm reading the articles, and then we get to the end, and it doesn't mention us. It doesn't mention all of you. And so I just encourage you, this is our urban outreach program we did this summer. We had over 40 youth participate, and we had AmeriCorps Vistas there doing the day-to-day program and all that. So I'll have more details about evaluation probably next month. Secondly, if you haven't had an opportunity, probably one of the best 4-H articles written in a long time by the Kenosha News. Visits with Michelle Knapp. She's one of our 4-H members, lives in Pleasant Prairie. Her grandfather has a farm out in Wheatland. It talks about while her friends are sleeping in this summer, what she gets to do is get up every morning, go out and take care of her sheep. So once again, it talks about the work ethic that is instilled in a lot of our 4-H members, because if you don't take care of your animals, they're not going to be around. It even says in here, I thought it was kind of funny that Grandpa says, if you don't take care of the animals, I'm getting rid of the animals. So really great article about 4-H, what it means. And then I thought the Kenosha News did a wonderful job in highlighting some of our volunteers and how to get involved in the program. So if you have an opportunity, read it, pass it along. And that's my quick report.
Two quick things. Still doing strategic planning. I'm working with a group called Peace Learning Circles, which covers Racine and Kenosha. And what they do is they offer peace learning programs in schools, mostly to fourth graders. They also offer them in nursing homes and retirement homes, because I didn't know, but there's a lot of bullying and so forth in retirement homes and nursing homes, which is really surprising to me. So we're doing not so much a strategic plan for them, but a tactical plan, because they're a very young organization. And Teddy is on the board of that, so I have good direct feedback on the project.
Do you work at Brookside?
Sir?
Do you do that at Brookside?
No, I'm doing it for the board of Peace Learning Circles itself. We have a meeting at Gateway Tech in Kenosha. The other thing that I've started working on is a database of conservation organizations in the county. The reason I'm doing this is because I don't have a feel for who's working on conservation and environmental issues. Whereas there's a real complete database of human service organizations, there's really nothing organized in the environmental areas. It's natural resources. It's part of my brief. I would like to know who out there I can work with, or who needs help, or who could be part of public processes and so forth. And at some point, I would like to survey those organizations once I get a complete database. And I'm also reaching out to other organizations that work in the county, that may be regional or statewide organizations, to get their input on the situation in Kenosha County as well. But I can tell you more about that as it goes.
Thank you.
I just want to make sure that I make an acknowledgement to Donna Zerobi, our one and only county support staff. The work that she does on our website has been recognized statewide. We were just announced today as the website of the month, so check us out. And she was recognized for the way in which she puts the 4-H newsletter electronically into our website. So the IT department in Madison said, look at Kenosha County because they're doing it right. So don't ask me what right means, because I don't know what she's doing or how she's doing it, but she's doing it right. And so we're really proud of Donna and the work that she does and giving us that recognition. So that should drive a lot of traffic to our website, because everyone's going to go, what are they doing? So that's pretty cool. So I wanted to make sure she gets recognized.
Country Thunder?
Pardon?
Country Thunder?
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Do we have a quick update?
We could give you a quick update. The survey has gone out through Country Thunder themselves. So did any of you participate in Country Thunder?
No.
Nobody did. Oh, well, I was going to ask you what the survey looked like because I didn't either. And so it only went to those individuals who purchased tickets. And the last preliminary numbers we've got were they had about 600 respondents. Now, let me tell you that Brian, the promoter of Country Thunder, really sweetened the deal. And I think I mentioned this, or we mentioned at the last meeting. If you return the survey, you will be eligible to win a Blake Shelton signed guitar. Now, for those of you who don't know, Blake Shelton's pretty big. He's way up. He was on The Voice. Even I knew who Blake Shelton was. So it certainly increased. So we're very anxious to see the results and what will happen. So that'll take some time to churn that, but great response rate. So and so any chance you can to thank Country Thunder for any of that contribution to help give us the information, that would be most appropriate. So
they've been brilliant to work with.
They have just been fabulous, bending over backwards to help us. So.
Can I expect like a bowl of rice every
day? I always feel bad asking.
It's like once a year.
Nutrition Education does the program once.
Once a year.
How long can we keep that rice for?
I keep it for a couple weeks.
You said you left over.
They're